Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program was brought to you by Itoen, the leading green tea company and makers of Oi Ocha, Japan's number one selling green tea. For more information, visit itoen.com.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Japan Eats. I'm your host Akiko Katayama, a food writer and a director of the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes a deeper understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. We are broadcasting live from a studio at Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every deli and supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We hear dashi ramen izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is still a mystery for many people, and I will try to demystify it in this program with my cool guests. And my guest today is Andy Moran, who is the manager at the Japan Premium Beef, a specialty butcher shop in New York City. And Japan Premium Beef sells both imported Japanese Wagyu and domestic beef called Washu, raised on their own farm in Oregon. You may have tasted Wagyu beef at fine dining restaurants. For its extremely marbling and its delicateness, it tastes nothing like regular beef. So we'll talk about what exactly Wagyu is, what is the difference between Wagyu and Washu beef, what is the best way to taste those special types of beef, and more. Hello, Andy. Welcome to Japan Eats.
Hi.
So, first of all, of course, how did you get into this Japanese beef business?
Totally by accident. It was one of those things where I was doing a bunch of different jobs, and then I cut fish for a number of years, and then I developed a shellfish allergy.
That's crazy.
At 32, getting shellfish allergy, that changes your diet dramatically.
Right. So you converted to beef.
Yeah. I took a job working with a man named Mike Miller, who was a fourth-generation butcher. Mm. And then I wanted to learn how every culture eats. I have a lot of Japanese friends, so I wanted to know how do they eat to maximize the animal. I know how American people eat. I know how English people eat.
Right.
Japanese people seem to do something different with meat or cut it or prepare it in a different way. And that's what made me really...
Yeah, so there's an interesting movie, Steak Revolution, which I saw. And then there's a completely different concept of beef in France and America. And
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, did you like that movie?
It was interesting. Yeah, and especially if you're in a business, like, wow.
Yeah, I recently watched it for the first time, and I was like, wow, there's a lot of different cultures. I mean, everywhere around the world, everyone eats. So I want to know how every culture eats so we can be more responsible with how we raise animals, how we feed animals, how we get together and share a meal with our friends and our loved ones.
Right. Well, beef is actually a big common denominator.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's the right place to be. Right. So what is Japan Premium Beef?
Japan Premium Beef is a butcher shop at 57 Great Jones on the corner of Bowery and Great Jones Street in Manhattan. They opened in 2009. I've been there for about 2 years now. Excuse me. And when they opened, there was a ban on importing beef due to hoof and foot and mouth disease.
Right.
I joke sometimes that I have foot in mouth disease sometimes, but...
Right. Well, actually, that's a very interesting point because I think there are always some regulatory issues surrounding import and export beef between Japan and the U.S., and... So I heard that before 2009, the slaughterhouses in Japan where Wagyu was processed had not been certified for export by the USDA. And between 2009 and 2012, there's a U.S. ban on import of Japanese beef.
Yeah.
So that was like crazy timing.
The big outbreak, from what I understand, and I could be wrong, but from what I understand, the big outbreak was in Miyazaki, which is where the best beef in the world comes from now.
Right.
There's Beef Olympics in Japan every 5 years.
I didn't know that.
they're graded on the marble, the yield, the taste, the texture, the color, the fat content. And the next one is 2017, but the past two Miyazaki Wagyu has won.
Oh, wow.
Which is, that's the Wagyu that we choose to carry at Japan Premium Beef.
Right. Wow, it can be really big damage for them.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, but, well, we'll talk about the specific regional brands, but I think they recovered.
Oh, yeah.
Reputation now, right? Completely. So, okay. And the Japanese people started eating beef only from 19th century in the Meiji period. And currently, I think according to the data in 2014, they consume only 15 pounds of beef per capita annually versus 54 pounds in the U.S. So, but like everything else, Japanese people pursue the delicacy of beef very uniquely and meticulously. So they created Wagyu. So what is Wagyu beef?
Well, wa means Japan, and gu is beef.
Meh.
So, excuse me again, Wagyu is... The easiest way that I describe it to people would be like champagne. You can have sparkling wine, but if it's not from Champagne, it's sparkling wine. But if it's from the Champagne region, then it's champagne.
Right.
So, like Kobe beef, for example, it comes from... not even going to try to pronounce the prefecture. I can't remember the name of it right now.
Hyogo.
Thank you. And it's the Taji...
Tajima beef.
Yes, right. Thank you. You pronounce it much better than I do.
Thank you.
So that is the only beef that is going to be Kobe beef, right? Whereas, from my understanding, in the mid-1970s... They started, as beef culture was rising and meat culture was getting larger in Japan, they started to crossbreed. And then, since Japan is relatively isolated, being islands, some of these breeds have stayed, like Mishima, or there's 90% of them are black Wagyu.
Right.
And then the remaining 10% are red Wagyu.
Right. Yeah, I did some research on this because it's kind of complicated. So, like you said earlier, right after Japanese people started to eat beef, and then started to mix Japanese native beef with other Western, mainly four types of beef, and then they created some. It's not the four types, like multiple, like British or Spanish, different kinds of beef, and then with remaining. Really good breeds for this, like you said, Japanese black, that's 90% of what we call Wagyu, and Japanese brown, Japanese polled, and Japanese shorthorn. So these are like, the Wagyu breeds. That's what I heard.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, that's the Wagyu.
Yes.
Like four different kinds of breeds, right? So, but what's confusing to us is like Wagyu, people say Wagyu as Kobe, but they are not.
There was no... Kobe, I don't think, had a certification.
Right. I heard it's a brand name because Wagyu is like a umbrella term. And then, Tajima beef, that's a big, it's like really fancy breed of beef. And then the Tajima beef growing in Kobe, it's a brand name. So Kobe beef, it's not anything other than brand name.
I always thought it was like a marketing ploy for the U.S. Like, oh, people can't say Tojima. I couldn't say it five minutes ago, So let's say Kobe. It's easier.
Right. So, and I think there are some other regions that it's a, there's like, a, they say top three Wagyu. It's a Matsuzaka, And that's in Mie Prefecture, and Omi, that's in Shiga Prefecture, and Yonezawa, that's in Yamagata Prefecture. And they're regional, like you said, champagne.
Yeah.
So the same breed, but they're growing in certain regions.
And then their diet's going to be different by that region, or even by that specific farm, or that farmer, or that breeder. You know, I mean, with Wagyu, they are highly regulated now, and there's a snout stamp. As a calf, and you have to trace that bloodline back three generations, I believe.
Wow.
To make sure that it's pure.
Yeah, so they have, they're like a fingerprint, they have nose print, right?
Exactly.
Identity, like they have a passport even.
when Wagyu comes in, we only carry A5 Wagyu, and when it arrives, it comes with a certificate of authenticity, a snout stamp, sometimes they'll even send a picture of the cow.
Wow, no terrorism. Right. So everybody, Wagyu is not Kobe beef. Kobe beef is not exactly Wagyu. It's a part of the brand of whole Wagyu name.
So all Wagyu, or all Kobe is Wagyu, but not all all Wagyu is Kobe.
Yes, that's right. Okay, so in terms of the taste, what is special about Wagyu?
It is incredibly rich. With the flavor is nutty and buttery, and I think that was part of the reason why it was crossbred throughout history, is because a lot of people aren't used to, especially the American market, aren't used to something so rich and buttery. You know, I'm from Detroit. I want a 2-3-finger steak. I want a nice, thick steak. You do that with Wagyu, and you're like, what is wrong with me? I feel it's too much.
You need an ambulance.
Yeah, you know, like...
Yeah.
So I think that part of that crossbreeding and the way that they're raised, that flavor is just so rich and delicate, and you don't even have to chew it sometimes. You know, you press... Put it on your tongue, press it on the roof of your mouth, and it just dissolves. It melts.
Right. Yeah. So actually, before I spoke to one of the breeders and the growers, and the beef literally melts in your mouth because the melting point of Wagyu fat is much lower. And of course, Wagyu is full of fat, right? Like really the marbling. So he said the meat, I mean, Wagyu, even more like a fat, will melt at 17 degrees centigrade or 63 degrees Fahrenheit compared to 95 to 130 degrees Fahrenheit of regular animal fat. So literally, it's melting in your mouth.
I tell people all the time, don't put it out and let it rest before you cook it, because you're gonna overcook it. It will cook in the room on a day like today where it's like 70 degrees.
Right.
I mean, I brought you some Washugu, and it melted on the way here.
Right. You know? So it's like butter.
Very, very much like butter.
Okay. So, and also I found some health benefits. So Wagyu cattle's genetic predisposition yields a beef that contains a higher percentage of omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids than typical beef. And increased marbling also increases the ratio of monounsaturated fats to saturated fats. So
that the fat in it is the good fat,
right?
You know, that you want, your body wants, you need, and fat is where the flavor is too.
Right. So it's almost like eating fish, like rich, you know, mackerel, like good oil. Fish,
yeah, or like fish. Great salmon or any fatty, high in good fat and good flavor.
Okay, and there is a reason for being so good. So I heard so many interesting stories about how they are grown. Maybe you can tell us about those
You know, I think it varies from place to place. I've heard numerous stories, and I've yet to go to Japan and see any of this firsthand. Mm-hmm. But I've heard tales of massages. Even in Steak Revolution, you see that guy who's spraying sake on the cow and massaging the cow. I've always, the one that always made the most sense to me is, you know, parts of Japan are very rocky. So let's say this cow is walking around. It's going to get tired. It's going to cramp up. You want the cow to be stress-free because if the animal doesn't have any stress, it tastes a lot better. it lives a happier life. Everything in the universe is kind of doing better.
Right.
So if the cow's walking around and it's rocky and treacherous, you massage the cow. The cow wants to lay down, you let it lay down. And then, you know, I'm sure there's some breeders that are sitting there, all right, cow, hurry up, drinking a beer. And then, I'll give this cow the cow likes beer, you know. So there's definitely a lot of respect from what I understand over there. I know that our farm in Oregon, there's a tremendous amount of respect for the animal, and you want the animal to be happy. And who isn't happy when you're eating well and perhaps you have a nice cold beer on a hot day?
Right. So the theoretically, it's to reduce the stress.
I think so.
Bookie.
And I've also read that some breeders in Japan will give the cows beer because the cow isn't hungry and doesn't feel like eating anymore.
Mm.
So
right, actually, I spoke to a producer of from the famous Matsuzaka, which is in Mie Prefecture near Kyoto, and he said the cubs are first fed with dry rice straws and grass to strengthen the digestive system, and switch the blend of wheat, soy, barley, corn, and other grain, so that the appetite is always good, and then the strong stomach.
They told you that? They don't tell anyone. That's like top secret.
How
they're sharing.
Well, I got lucky. There is a promotional event in New York City, and then I went there as a writer. I was so fascinated because I thought it was like a joke.
No. No, that's 100% true, and that's, I think, what sets our Wishugu is our brand. What sets it apart is we start them for the first several months. They're only eating rice stalks, which is going to strengthen their stomachs. It allows them to take in more nutrients. And then when you do that switch to almost like a pureed soy and grass and wheat, it really allows them to take on the most from their food.
And then I also heard to enhance cattle's appetite, sometimes honey is mixed in.
Oh, sure.
And then I have more. So they adjust the blend of feed for each head of their cattle for the maximum marbling, and not to overfeed, but feed it with just about the right amount. And it's already amount is adjusted depending on the day, how they're tired or happy. And then their cattle are grown up to 36 months versus 20 months for regular US beef because they patiently wait for marbling.
Yeah.
Like 3 years.
That is why a lot of people will ask for certain things. Like, I have several clients that are saying, oh, well, I want a ton of short ribs. And I'm going, well, you have to wait 3 years. We're raising these cows. We want them to be happy and we want them to taste great. And the only way you do that is by letting them live their life.
Right. Okay, and then I have more. So they massage the cattle with shochu because that's what they use for better blood circulation. I didn't know that. Maybe I should rub my skin.
I was just about to say that we should get some shochu and we could find out.
Right, and then that produces even marbling. And then, like you said, they feed the cattle with beer when they are low in energy to support digestion to activate bacteria in their stomach. So then we can use that too.
Yeah.
Right. So, as a result, in 2002, for instance, one of the cattle they had was sold at $470,000.
Wow.
So 50 million yen.
That doesn't surprise me in the slightest, because if that bloodline and that cattle, that cow, you could definitely start a delicious farm. And
Right. Yeah, that's the purpose, not just like...
Yeah, I'm not going to spend 50 million yen for one meal right now.
Yeah. Right, it's not like a Tsukiji market tuna.
No, not at all.
Right. So, yeah, that makes sense because, all those long 3 years, they keep feeding with this labor cost, everything. So, that means... So, speaking of, what's the price range of Wagyu beef?
It depends. Depends on there's a lot of factors. Currently at Japan Premium Beef, we offer Wagyu ribeye and Wagyu New York strip. Both are graded A5. When I'm speaking of grades, there's several grading systems. There's a marbling grading system, which would be, it's called a BMS. Mm. The highest BMS is 12. Mm-hmm. A5 typically is a BMS 12. Mm. That's $130 a pound.
Wow.
Which, you know, you could easily feed three people with a pound because you want to cut your portion down and savor it. It's so rich and so filling. Mm. When I first started working at Japan Premium Beef, I brought home a pound of Wagyu, thinking, oh, I can eat a pound steak by myself. And I bring it home and I'm sharing it with my girlfriend at the time. And I said, about halfway through, we're both so full. And it turned into this argument, like, no, you eat it. No, you eat it. I can't eat anymore. No, come on, eat. We have to eat it. We can't waste it.
So it's almost like eating foie gras, a pound of foie gras, kind of.
But it tastes better. I mean, no offense to foie gras. Mm-hmm. Foie gras is great, but mm-hmm. Beef is always better. Maybe I'm biased.
You're from Denver. I get it. But I think, like we said, the melting point of the fat is lower, and it's easier for your body.
Oh, so yeah.
Probably a little easier than foie gras
to digest. It's still so rich. I mean, and I tell that to people all the time when they come, you know, customers will come into the retail shop and they say, oh, I want like a 2-inch steak. And I'm going, how many people are you feeding? You know, that's easily four to five people. Mm. I fed 20 people on 7 pounds.
Okay. Wow.
And everyone was beyond full.
Right. So, no steakhouse size of Wagyu beef.
Yeah, you're not going for a 96-ounce steak challenge.
Yeah. So, what's the best way to taste Wagyu beef then?
I think it really depends on how you like to eat and what you like to eat. Personally, I like to make Wagyu. I like Wagyu yukiniku. Mm-hmm. And I cut it small and thin. I've got this great cast iron skillet that I just throw it in. I take some of the excess fat and render it in my skillet because I want to cook it in that fat.
Right. You cannot waste that fat, right?
No, I don't want to waste it. And I don't want to taint the meat with an oil or something else. I'm definitely not going to spray Pam or something on it.
Oh, yeah.
And I quickly sear it. And I use a little wasabi.
Mm.
And that's how I do it, personally.
Wow. So it's really the genuine taste of Wagyu.
I found that wasabi really makes it, really makes it pop.
Right. You know, like in Japan, they eat raw gyusashi, like sashimi, but I don't think it's recommended here, maybe not.
For liability purposes, I will tell everyone you must cook your food.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have I eaten it raw? Yes, of course.
Right. So, just for reference.
Yes.
It's possible. Right.
Should you do that? I don't want to know anything about that. That's entirely up to you.
But I heard you can like lightly sear it and then top it, you know, it's like make it into nigiri sushi.
Oh, yeah.
Topping the rice.
I've hit it with a quick torch, some uzu.
Right. Let's eat.
I know, I'm getting hungry right now.
Where's the beef? Okay, so let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll talk about Washu beef, which you might think is Wagyu at the restaurant. So please stay with us.
Itoen, the leading green tea company and makers of Oi Ocha, Japan's number one selling green tea, offers an array of award-winning ready-to-drink teas, premium tea leaves, tea bags, and antioxidant matcha powder. From the refreshing taste of Tea's Tea, brewed with only the purest of teas, to Matcha Love, taking a modern take on an ancient ritual, Ito N celebrates the authentic tastes of Japan with their 50-plus years of tea-making expertise. For a natural energy boost, try Sencha Shot, packed with healthy catechins and vitamin C. Do visit the Matcha Love store in the Mitsuo Marketplace located in Edgewater, New Jersey for their signature matcha ice cream and shakes. Hoji and black sesame are also a must. With a selection of delicious teas, teaware, and gift sets, Matcha Love by Itoen is not to be missed. For more information, visit itoen.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Japan Eats, broadcasting live from a studio in Bushwick, Brooklyn. I'm your host, Akiko Katayama, and my guest today is Andy Moran, who is a manager at the Japan Premium Beef, a specialty butcher shop in New York City. Japan Premium Beef sells both imported Japanese Wagyu and domestic beef called Wagyu, raised on their home farm in Oregon. So, considering the high price of Wagyu, it doesn't sound realistic to eat Wagyu at a regular New York City restaurant, but we do see Wagyu on the menu, so there's something going on here. And the reason is that most of them are Wagyu beef, which is not exactly Wagyu. So, could you tell us what Wagyu beef is?
Wagyu is our brand of Wagyu beef. It is raised in America, crossbred Wagyu with, more common than not, it's Black Angus, USDA Black Angus.
Okay, so Black Japanese Wagyu and American Black Angus.
Yes.
Right, okay. And so you said Wagyu, Gyu means beef, so Wagyu Gyu and Wagyu beef, that's basically
the same thing. Shu is American, right? Or America?
Yes, stew, like region. Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, that's right.
So it'd be like Japanese-American beef?
Mm-hmm. Right, but they raise a lot in, I think, New Zealand and Australia.
New Zealand, Australia do. There's a number of places in the United States that do now. Mm. I know that there's an American Wagyu Beef Association in Texas.
Mm. Right, right. And but I heard that the initial intention was to Gyu producers was to export highly marbled, high-quality beef at lower cost to the Japanese market, but the mad cow disease triggered the ban on exporting beef from the U.S. to Japan, so now Wagyu Gyu producers are now focusing on the American market.
And a lot of European markets, too, now. And
really?
Yeah, that's... And also Malaysia, Hong Kong. I think it's... If you like beef and you want to eat beef every day, Wagyu is too much.
Mm.
You could do it, but you wouldn't want to. It's
right.
It's a delicacy. It's a special treat.
Mm.
You don't want to do that every single day of the week.
Right.
Then it's not special. You've got to keep it a little bit special, I think.
Right. If you're in heaven, you don't send you to heaven, right?
So. Right. And so with Wagyu, I think with Wagyu for us, we are one of 11 farms in the United States that's certified hormone-free, no GMOs in their food. There's never any added nonsense in the cows, and you can taste it. And it is, that was a big reason why I wanted to work for Japan Premium Beef and be a part of what they're doing, because I think it's the best tasting beef I've ever had in my life. And I think that with those markets, granted, I don't have an MBA, so I don't know what their logic was, but it's you can taste it. You taste it and you go, man, this is what it should taste like. This is what I want.
Mm.
It's not tough. It's not, you know how, like a good example would be pork.
Mm.
I like pork. But then I tried Mugi Fuji pork.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to think, oh, Iberico is so great. And then I tried Mugi Fuji, and now all the other pork...
Mm-hmm. What's a Mugi Fuji pork?
Mugi Fuji is a pork that we carry. It's coming from Montreal. It's a combination of a Duroc, a Lancashire, and a white pig, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they really know what they're doing. They know how they're raising the animals. And the taste is so phenomenal that if I go out for ramen, for example, I won't eat pork. I'll get like the vegetarian ramen because I'm so spoiled by Mugi Fuji pork that every other pork tastes like, I'll just say, not as good. I want to, you know, because I'm sitting here going like, oh, it tastes like a wet dog smells to me.
Right, so don't ruin my ramen.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, that's what, yeah. So with Washugu, I feel like Washugu has changed the way that I taste beef. Wagyu, obviously, you know, if we're looking at a, if we're looking at Earth from above, you know, Wagyu is going to be the sun. You know, whereas Washugu is kind of the heart of the flavor planet solar system, if that makes any sense.
Okay. So in terms of the flavor, how do you, I mean, you know, it's like Wagyu is great, but the, like you say, there's something special, right, about Wagyu, Washu beef.
The flavor is that perfect balance. You know, I feel like it's one of those things like, just come and eat it. Just come and taste it because I'm not doing it justice. Like when you were a child, you grew up in Japan. For special occasions, you had sushi, right? You wouldn't have sushi every day.
No, we don't.
Right? Yeah. But I think a lot of Americans think like, oh, Japanese people, you had sushi all the time.
This is maybe once a month.
Right.
Right.
So that's how I treat Wagyu. Washugu, I want to eat meat a lot. I probably eat meat more than I should, but I like it. And I grew up in the Midwest where you eat meat every day. So Washugu fills that hole in my heart for meat. And the flavor is great. And there's a lot of places in New York and elsewhere that are really responsible. They're socially conscious. They are doing things locally, and I respect it. And they're doing this whole grass, all grass diet, and it's organic, and I really respect what they're doing. But the flavor isn't there. The texture isn't there for me.
Right.
Whereas Washugu has that. It's raised humanely. It's raised ethically. And the flavor is just through the roof.
I'm curious, what kind of feed do you have in the Oregon farm, to know?
They're raised the exact same way they would be in Japan, on the same diet. We, when that farm started, the breeder and feeding specialist from Japan came and set up that farm. And it's the same as it would be there.
They may not get shochu, but they may get beer.
They're probably getting sake instead of shochu.
Oh, wow. Interesting. American sake, maybe?
I hope not. For their sake.
Right. Okay. So, and then it's good that the GMO-free feed.
Well, that's, I mean, that's, you can't export to Europe or other places if you have GMOs.
Right.
You know, not to, I don't mean to go off on a tangent about our food industry in America, but you know, people didn't get sick like they do now.
Right.
Like, 50 years ago, before we started modifying things to increase the yield or bring things in out of season. And I just think it's very irresponsible for future generations and even for our current generation.
Right. Right. And you see more allergies, which we didn't see before. That's obviously a result of food we have.
Yeah. It's, right. I mean, it's insane. And what it, for me, there's nothing better than food. You know, I'm not, it's not like, oh, I want to be a glutton about it. It's my favorite thing to do is get together with my friends, especially now that the weather's starting to get better. I can't wait for barbecue season. You know, oh, we hang out, we make jokes, we tease each other, we eat. You know, that's summer for me, I think. And that's a crucial part of all throughout history, and no matter where you live, that it's a crucial human experience to get together and share a meal and discuss, you know, how your day was, or any big, any life-altering event that happens in anyone's life, you always come together over food.
That's true, right? And then it's almost like that relaxation time. It's almost like while you'd be getting massaged.
Oh, the,
right? The conversation.
As a child, we used to have Sunday dinner every Sunday at 1 o'clock, and I remember thinking, like, why are we eating dinner so early? And then you take a nap and you wake up at like 7 and then you keep eating, you know? And I think that in this hustle and bustle of 2016, maybe slowly in the future, people will get back to that again, because that was, a lot of people were a lot happier, or I know I was definitely happier. And I like, I want to get together with food and my friends and my family and take a nap. When was the last time you took a nap after a good meal and then woke up and ate again?
I mean, the modern people, we feel guilty about taking a nap even. So, yeah. So that's great. So, and especially wagyu beef, that helps. Everybody gets happy.
Oh, yeah. Like, and washugu. I mean, washugu is the best tasting American beef I've ever had in my life.
Right. So the, I think Angus is known for soft texture, so mixed with that marbling, you cannot go wrong.
You're combining two breeds of cattle, and you're just maximizing the greatest aspects of both of them. So you really can't.
Right, and you can eat a little more quantity.
You definitely, yeah, you definitely can.
Right. Okay, I'm seriously getting hungry. Sorry. Right. But compared to Wagyu, what's the price range of Washu?
It is cheaper than Wagyu, for sure. It's the price range, you can fit everyone's budget. It's not as cheap as, I mean, these cows are still being raised for at least 27 to 31 months. So, I mean, that's still a good amount of time to raise a cow. It's longer than most farms in the U.S. So there is a lot of expense and that goes into it, and a lot of love and preparation. So it's not going to be, it's not $3 a pound by any means, but it's one of those things where you get what you pay for.
Right.
You know.
And especially that very complex mix of the feed.
And I mean, I phrase it like this, where there's times where you might not have any money and you're not going to buy new shoes, but you're standing in line at the grocery store and you might buy a $10 chocolate bar, you know? So that's kind of how I view it, where, you know what you put into your body, hopefully you get back out with your community or with your life.
Right. And also in Japan, there's a word, ishoku dogen, means medical treatment, and the food comes from the same place. So rather than paying for medicine, you just eat the good food.
That's, you know, I can't stress it enough. Just eat better.
Right. And in a good way, like you said, a very communal experience and sharing. So, yeah, I really respect that. So, but I was curious, though. You said, you know, the grass-fed and the grain-fed. I mean, Wagyu, Washu, basically, they are grain-fed.
Yes.
The mixture. So, how do you describe the difference between grass-fed and grain-fed?
As far as texture and taste, or?
Both, yeah.
Typically, and I've worked places that served just, that was all they carried, was organic from a farm, you know, 45 miles away. We're going to drive it in. We're going to break down a whole cow. And that's what we have for that week. We have one hanger steak, first come, first serve. And the flavor it's different. It's the texture is different. Those cows aren't as fat. And fat is where the flavor is, if you ask me, you know, and it depends on the kind of fat too. You don't want to have something that's just fatty and gristly and, it's unappealing to me. I know that a lot of my Japanese friends really like fat. That kind of threw me off at first, having a beef bowl made with the short plate of a cow, which is a very fatty. And I remember being like, "Ooh, this is too much fat. I can't eat this." And then it has changed, where now I appreciate it because it's that type of fat. With a pure grass fed cow, to me, it seems a little tougher. The flavor is definitely not as balanced.
Some people say gamey, too gamey, strong. It's kind of like strong cheese, if you like it or not, kind of thing.
It, I really respect that. I mean, something has to change in the American, the way that cattle is raised in America. Mm. I believe that Japan Premium Beef is trying to do something a little bit differently. And I agree with the direction that they're going, which is why I'm a part of it. But I'm very happy that there's people that are thinking this way and talking about it and discussing it. But I think there needs to be a balance. There needs to be a flavor. I've heard the other argument where people say, but you don't understand. You're going to have to learn to like it, because otherwise no one's going to have cattle.
Right.
You'll never have beef again if you don't change. But there's, you know, there needs to be a balance where if you treat the animals with respect and you respect the planet and you respect the community and you're not polluting excessively, or, you know, if you're trying to be responsible with how you do it and succeeding at being responsible with how you do it, then I don't understand, or I don't even see how we can. I don't want to deny future generations of Wishugu or Wagyu or even the option to have a purely grass-fed cow if that's what they want.
Right. So, and especially versus industrial beef, like, you know, GMO corn fed, and they get disease. Like,
corn has no nutritional value. I love it, but there's so much gunk. I can't even think of like a proper word to describe all the artificial fake gunk that's in corn. Why would you feed it to something that you're going to eat?
Right. That's true. So, yeah. So in other words, like, I think, Washi, I think you said now 10 to 11 farms, which I think is Texas, California, Oregon, Missouri, and Washington. Like a lot of more Washu farms. So that means we are kind of re-educating ourselves with proper meat, maybe?
I hope. I haven't been to those farms. I haven't talked to those people. I'm not familiar. You know, sometimes I run into people that work for someone else that's breeding their brand of Washu. I don't know how they raise it. I don't know who set up their farm. I don't know what they're feeding. They'll send me samples sometimes, and it doesn't taste like Wishugu or Wagyu.
Right.
I personally prefer Wishugu to Wagyu. It's the flavor is there. I can't stress enough. I feel like it's the best tasting beef.
Right.
A very good friend of mine, his girlfriend was vegan for 11 years. She recently decided to start eating meat. So I said, okay, well, what does she like? And he goes, she just likes the meat that you give her. And I said, okay, I'm going to make a yukiniku set with like 6 different types of meat.
Right.
And I arrange them in pretty little flowers. And I put little labels under each one. And I'm like, okay, now you can tell me which one she likes best. So we can always make sure that your girlfriend's happy, because, you know, happy, have a happy partner and your life is always happier.
Right.
And he goes, so what was the verdict? And he says, she just likes it all, because it's the best tasting meat.
Right, because of the quality of the feed. And as like
the quality
said,
of the feed, the quality of the breeds. So with some of these other places that are doing it, I don't, who set up their farm? How are they doing it? Are they doing it just the traditional American farming way? Are they people that said, you know, there's a lot of questions that I have that I can't easily find answers to co-sign anyone else's lease.
Right. Okay. I just have to, there's a little question. I just said the Washu producers in Texas, California, Oregon, Missouri, Washington, but these are actually Wagyu. So like marbled. And it's like they have 8,800 numbers, just the head of cattle. That's a lot. But I think there's a Washu beef. They have the Oregon, of course, and Texas and Iowa and those different places.
Colorado. And a lot of those people are saying, you know, I've talked to someone from a farm recently in Colorado, and he was telling me, oh, this is 100% full-blood Wagyu. And I'm saying, well, I think the only full-blood Wagyu now is the Tajima, The rest but, of them have
been... Mishima, I think. Mishima? And that's another one. But
it's still difficult for me with some of these Japanese words.
To me, it's so confusing. Yeah, there's so many different kinds of, like, who knows the breed?
But you're sitting there and you're going, "What?" And I said, well, send me a sample. I want to taste what you're doing. Because they were trying to get us to sell it. And I said, okay, you know, I'll let me taste it. If it tastes good, then I'll want to know more, you know?
Right.
Talking about food, it's very difficult for me because it's something that, you know, it's all a matter of taste. You have to taste it.
Right.
And so I said, send it to me, and it's fallen short every time. Mm-hmm. And not to dismiss their hard work. Mm-hmm. I know they're trying, but maybe they don't understand the feed yet, or maybe or maybe they're shooting for a different taste, and it's just not meeting my personal taste expectations.
That's interesting. So so you're going to Japan soon to discover more?
I am hoping to very much to go to Japan very soon. Hopefully October. You got good places that I should eat at?
Yeah.
Places to recommend? Okay.
I'll give you a list.
Cool.
Okay, so maybe after the trip you can come back and talk more about...
Yeah, I'd love that.
Right. Okay, so thank you for joining us, Sandy. And hope you'll bring more Russian Wagyu to the States.
Thank you so much, yes.
So listeners, if you're interested in getting Japanese Wagyu Wagyu beef, please visit JapanPremiumBeef.com. That's JapanPremiumBeef.com. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, please contact us at heritageradionetwork.org. And Japan Eats is live at 3 p.m. on Mondays and always available at heritageradionetwork.org, iTunes, and the Stitcher podcast. And today's show was made possible by Ito En, and our engineer is David Tatsuyori. And thank you for listening. I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lam, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.